Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, HRN has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Hello, hello, Heritage Radio Network listeners tuning in from 165 countries around the world, about a million listens a month. And today we have the perfect show, the perfect intersection of food and technology. We are talking about virtual reality integrated multi-sensory art experience. Sounds so exciting. If you are a faithful listener of Tech Bytes, you will have already heard a little something about this back in December of 2019 when we first met the cohort that is putting together a experience called Aero Banquets. And I call it an experience because it's hard to describe it as something else. So here we have today joining us Mattia Castiglione and Kathleen Ford. Mattia is the artist who conceived and created the project. Kathleen Ford is senior curator at Superblue, the gallery in Miami. And if you're a fan of the art world, you know that the Miami Art Week is happening right now. And this experience is happening as we speak. So let's kick it off, Mattia. Thank you for coming back all these years later.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having us again. I'm so excited to be on your show again.
So back in 2019, in December, you were performing or putting on or presenting this experience at the James Beard Foundation as a series of dinners, a multi-sensory journey, virtual reality, food, music, a 7-course tasting menu. It was about an hour long. And I had the opportunity to go and experience it. And it was really, it's truly, truly unique. There's nothing else really like it that I've ever experienced. So can you tell us what the initial idea was for you to put this project together and then how it happened and came together for 2019? And then we'll come up to the experience that you have today, how it's evolved. But what was the initial idea to do a VR food fantasy experience?
Right. So actually, that idea actually was born. I mean, I've been always interested in working with new media. So as an artist, I experiment a lot with new technologies and virtual reality, or you know, all the different variations from virtual reality, including augmented reality or maybe mixed reality. The way that I see those are like extensions of our sensory experience. So VR, for the ones of, you know, if you ever tried it, is mostly for games. But for me, it's a medium to expand the possibilities of what we can sense through, you know, in the world. So very much as VR might be an extension of our sight, our eyes, and our, you know, ears, and with sound, I thought that taste, you know, the sensory perception of food, it's, you know, it's a language and it's a medium in itself that it haven't been explored in VR a lot. And so this is where it come from, right? Just by this, wish and need to push the boundaries of the medium of VR, but also, you know, to include tastes into an experience. And so this is really where it came from, just from a pure experimentation on the medium.
Well, and then virtual reality it's easy to do sight and sound and movement. So like physical touch and movement, because your body can kind of move around and you can have sort of some sensations because of what you see and what you're hearing. But taste is completely outside of a VR environment as we think about it. You're not ever smelling anything or tasting anything. So how are you able to add that element into the VR space, which is doesn't have it?
Right. Absolutely. And this is where, you know, our entire journey really started. I started to collaborate with an amazing chef, actually, who is based in New York. His name is Chintan Pandaya. He owns few restaurants in New York, and with him, we really started to you know, to think of ways to integrate food in VR. And the way that we are doing now is by basically creating the entire menu as a bite-sized, basically dishes. They almost look like tapas, maybe. And the challenge here was how we can make sure that, you know, all the textures and all, you know, all the way how we prepare usually a normal plate, how that can be condensed into a bite-sized, you know, bite that you literally eat all in once. And so the experimentation here really went, you know, on figuring out, you know, how we can combine and how we can scale down all the flavors and all the, you know, all the things that we want to give to people in a format that, you know, they can just be completely bite-sized. And we also worked a lot on the intersection between a sound, of course, colors, shapes and visuals, and tastes, basically flavors.
So you integrate all of this together. You have your first experience. You have the experience back in December of 2019, which was really, I think, the first collaboration that you did with Chef Chintan on the actual thing itself, right? That was the first time it was presented to people. Mm-hmm. So how was the feeling after that? Almost as soon as you finished that performance or, you know, presentation, we had the pandemic and then everybody went home and stayed at home for a while.
Right.
Did you think about the presentation, the performance then? Did you have extra time to sort of download what it was and the results and what you wanted to do with it?
Well, I mean, actually, it was really funny because, of course, you know, as everybody knows, in those years, you know, the last thing that people wanted to do was to put some headsets on their heads. And so, you know, we were kind of like, we couldn't really show the project for a little bit. But what was interesting to me also is that the relationship that people have with VR in general, I think in those years of COVID completely changed, right? And there is a lot of people that actually bought some headsets. There's a lot of things that were actually shifting in the virtual worlds. You know, if we think about, you know, festivals going into VR mode and, you know, experiences getting, for example, theater, it's one of those things that really embraced VR and this kind of new technologies during the pandemic. So while we were with the Urban Cats, we were pretty, you know, pretty low and we are not really doing a lot. I think the audience and the way that the general public actually, you know, started to use these new, you know, these new tools and these new technologies, it really completely changed the experience almost that we are doing here in Miami now. I really see that in general, people are way more familiar with headsets. You know, they're more familiar with how VR might work, and that really changed, you know, a little bit how we are thinking and structuring the entire experience.
So the experience down in Miami right now is at a gallery called Super Blue, and Kathleen Ford is the senior curator there and one of the founding members curators of Super Blue. Kathleen, can you tell us? Tell us what Super Blue is about.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for having us. We're really excited to be here. It's been such a joyful project that it's just so fun to talk to anybody about it.
Well, hopefully you're talking to lots and lots of people about
it.
Lots and lots of people.
There's been such a great, lots of great feedback, and so many people are interested in this. It's been really wonderful to see that what we thought might be something that would be really wonderful for this community here and for our audience is exactly that, and then some. So Superblue is a company, an initiative that has been around for about 3 years, although we've really only been doing things in the world for about a year and a half. And we work with artists and partners to present large-scale, experiential, often immersive, multi-sensory artwork. And with that, we're really thinking about in the experiential art world, and there's, many projects in the landscape at the moment. A real focus for us is how do you present and work with artists in such a way that the work is as spectacular as it is meaningful? So we're really kind of thinking about the thoughtfulness behind something that is equally as stunning. And we work in two ways. We have our home, which is in Miami, our headquarters. So this is the one center that is really Superblue primarily driven. It's a 50,000 square foot space in Miami. And it's been open for a year and a half. And the other side of what we do is we partner on projects with festivals, with museums, and other partners where we bring things to life with some of the artists that we work with in their venues. But this is our, our main venue in Miami. We call it an experiential art center. And as I said, it's a 50,000 square foot space. And for the last year and a half, we've had a show with three large experiences in it, more exhibition style, by Team Lab, by Ez Devlin, and by James Terrell. But in all of these artworks, and this is kind of critical to what we do and why we're so enthusiastic to bring Mattia and team and Aero Banquets underneath our roof, in all of what we do, we're really kind of working with artists in such a way where the artist creates the artwork, but at the end of the day, the viewers of the audience complete it. It's unfinished without them, without their impact. And that, relates in different ways depending on the installation or the performative activation that's happening underneath our roof. It's also really important to us that we're really thinking about shared experiences in both physical space and digital space. So, for example, working with an artist like Mattia on a VR experience, you really wouldn't find us having a solo experience where somebody walks into a white box of a room and just puts on a headset. There certainly would be something more mixed reality to it that is with a group of people and in between the physical world and the virtual world. So the exhibition itself, as I said, has been up for 1.5 years, and we just added one new art installation to that exhibition by Rafael Lozano Hemmer called Pulse Topology. But what we've been talking about for some time now, moving into kind of thinking of this as our second season or second time at Art Basel during this really kind of peak moment here, was how could we start to bring crowds back to Superblue through more event-driven experiences with artists, with things that kind of feel a little bit more like a performative installation? And what in that landscape also hits the mark of the artist creates the artwork, the audience completes it in some ways. It's sort of more about perception and experience than it is about object. And also, how can we do this in a way that you have a shared experience? It's not just a one-to-one experience. And we have been thinking a lot about trying to think about projects that kind of live in this mixed reality between the virtual world and the physical world. And as we're having all these conversations and brainstorming, and we had a space that became open in Superblue, I happened to go to Hyphen Hub, which is a gathering space in New York where a number of artists and curators come together in art and tech and have conversations, and some artists give presentations. And so, my ears were kind of perked for these kinds of projects. And a friend, a colleague in common of Mattia and I introduced us, and he started to tell me about this project. And I was like, this is kismet. We're totally talking exactly about all these things. The timeline's short, so we really wanted to work with a project that already had its legs in some way. And it really kind of hit all of those marks, and that, you know, it's a shared experience. The audience completes the artwork. It's event driven. It's, you know, people coming together in a space. It's something that's really also creative for broad audiences, in that, you know, there's something there that everybody is already comfortable with, which is eating and eating really good food. And then when you have that filtered through an artist lens, you know, what does that mean? And the most important thing here is what I started with, and I'll just close with this, is that, you know, how do you go beyond the spectacular to the meaningful? And in this work, you're just really drawn in by the seductive artwork and landscape and the room itself. But you realize that there's also threads that are being discussed or suggested in the piece, which is kind of like, in our contemporary landscape, you know, how do we produce? How do we consume? What does it mean to have a meal that you can't take a picture of, for example?
Oh my goodness. I never even thought about that. How can you have a meal that you can't Instagram? Mm-hmm. There must be some Instagrammable piece of the experience. Otherwise, how do people know it happened?
I just had somebody this morning saying, are you sure I can't turn my phone on and put it on the table in front of me before I put my headset on so I can have it all recorded for
goodness.
Instagram?
Oh my goodness. So Mattia, tell us, walk us through a little bit in as much as you can. And I, for people listening, again, this experience is happening right now. And the last time it was happening was in, you know, who knows when an experience like this can happen again. So if you happen to be in the Miami area and you are there for the art festival, superblue.com, that's all one word, superblue.com/Aero, A-E-R-O, is where you can go to take a look at the gallery, the event, and purchase tickets. It's happening until December 4th. And they're really, it's truly extraordinary and one of a kind. But Mattia, insofar as you can tell us what the experience is like without ruining it or, you know, being a spoiler for people, how long is it? What do people expect? They come in, they sit down, are they standing, are they walking? What's the experience like?
Mm-hmm. So, well, the people, first they enter the museum space. That's the first step, really. And then they, you know, they basically, they're greeted by our, you know, by our staff, by our hosts, and they're sort of brought into this reality first, just by, you know, by text, and then going to the space by the visuals, and then going to VR, you know, with the full multisensory experience. So for me, this entire experience is really based on theater almost. You know, it's in how we can convey, you know, an experience that really touches on all your senses. So sound, visuals, the entire experience is also actually based on a book, actually, on the Futurist Cookbook. It's a book that the Italian Futurists, which were this very experimental art group, wrote in the 1930s, actually 1932. And then they were really the first in Italy, but also in Europe, to think about food in terms of, in a very surreal way, in terms of colors and shapes and how things will sound, way, you know, as versus how things will actually taste. For example, they made a huge stir in Italy because they were completely against pasta, for example, right? You know, like of course in Italy.
That sounds very drastic.
Very, very, very. Of course, that didn't work well with press. You know, there was a huge, huge scandal. They actually also were able to open a natural restaurant in Turin, where they were doing this sort of fine dining, very surreal experimental exhibitions, where they were basically combining, you know, music, performance, painting, and of course food. So they were usually influential, I think, for a generation of chefs and artists working with food. They came way after, And so I got so much interested in this little book. And I started to think, okay, well, how can this be, you know, an actual experience, right? There is so much interesting stuff from this book, and how that can be, you know, almost like the starting point to create a story. And this is what I started to do. I started to write a script, very much like you will do in movies or in theater. And I sort of started to think, okay, what's the legacy of the futurists now, right? Because they were really thinking about food in terms of powder food, and you know, like how we can optimizing the eating stuff so that we can produce more in the future. You know, all stuff that is that after 50 years, actually, I think we are actually feeling the negative effects of sometimes too. You know, and they were really utopic when it comes to the. To the future of food. And I think a lot of things that they were trying, you know, to envision for the future, now we're actually experiencing the side effects of. So my work, this particular work is kind of critical a little bit towards the futurist idea, but also is also inspired by a lot of things that were in the book. So you will have narrator whose voice is actually from Gail Simmons, who is few people may know. Of course, she's a superstar, Top Chef, and so she guides you through this menu, which is a completely fantastical menu, and is described in very, very, you know, very fantastical, very surreal ways. And also, what is important, of course, is to realize that the guests, when they start this experience, they have no idea what they're gonna eat. So they have no idea what the menu is gonna look like. Of course, they have a choice between, you know, vegan versus other kind of menus. But what's interesting is that you go into the experience being completely, you know, open and blind and not knowing exactly what you will get.
So it's a leap of faith a little bit.
Absolutely. It's a leap of faith. And also it's a new way of experiencing food, because, of course, in VR, in the experience, your food comes in many different shapes, may have forms that you will never, that you never ate before. And so it's very much about, you know, how flavors, how this sense, you know, how the perception of flavor intersect with our vision, you know, with shapes, colors, and forms. So yeah, you need a lot of trust, but also it's a very, it's a very comfortable experience, I would say. Actually, it's really funny. Actually, we just had a guest just literally now that I was just helping, and he was our youngest guest ever, and he was four years old.
Oh, fantastic!
Yes,
and it was probably very natural. Even though he was 4 years old, so it was probably very natural for him from one point of view. Just like, oh, great, we're putting on this stuff. I'm doing this thing. No problem.
Yeah, totally easy. You know, and because it's it's not the kind of VR that we usually associate with the medium. It's not about gaming. It's not about fast things. It's not that kind of thing. It's more about a VR where you're sitting. You actually have hands. So you can really, interact and really, move and really, stay in your space very much like you will do in a normal space in reality. So it's super, super, it's really comfortable, and it's a very, very accessible experience for everybody. And it's been so much to see how everybody is reacting to it, of course.
So Kathleen, how is it, as a curator in a gallery space, working with installing an experience that is multisensory and experiential, is it more collaborative? Are you collaborating more with the artist versus if you're, hanging paintings or putting sculptures on display, because it is people walking in, walking out, food, sounds, things?
Well, thankfully, because I love it. I've only ever worked in art and technology and performance for the last 20 years. So I've kind of, I have had that experience through both exhibition and performance and performative installations that I'm kind of used to and grateful for, because it's such a great experience to be working really side by side with the artists we work with. So installing isn't the way that you would install an exhibition, and that you kind of have everything set in advance. You have things set in advance, but obviously things need to shift, and that shift even means, you know, shifting in terms of perception, taste, the size of a bite. Those kinds of things. And it was really fun when I was doing a tasting with Tintin and Mattia in New York, because we had some lead up to this, you know, and, you know, I just said, like, wow, how lucky am I? What a great job. And I said this again and again over the years of all sorts of weird things that end up kind of coming under the purview of being a curator of experimental work in art and tech. But, you know, coming home from a day of tastings at Tintin's restaurant was just part of the job. So yes, it's very collaborative. And also multi-sensory.
So this might be a question to ask. What is the, I know you're right in the throes of presenting an experience now in the space in Super Blue. Mattia, are you already thinking about the next iteration? Or are you really focused on just like working through performance after performance after performance? Or are you already evolving the experience for the next one?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what's really interesting about this kind of work, that is very, you know, it's a collaboration between me, you know, as the artist, as the creator of these worlds, and the creators of the menu. I really want to engage some local chefs here, for example, in Miami. I think you know, the Miami food scene is amazing, and I think it would be amazing to be back here in Miami and really work with a specific menu from some other chef. But you know, of course, you know, the technology is moving really, really fast. So you know, we are already experimenting with ways where the audience can come into the space already wearing some headset, or maybe ways where they can find each other in the worlds, maybe, right? Or maybe it can be an online shared experience where you might have a dinner with your friends or your family on the other side of the world. So I think for us, it's very much like a new language almost, and it's, you know, it's a platform also to invite, you know, different artists, different chefs, different creators, to really create a multisensory experience that are shared, meaningful, and, you know, and really offer amazing experiences.
Can you tell us about the technology you're using? I mean, is this, are these things that you're just pulling off a shelf? I recall from the James Beard house experience, you were sort of hacking and creating some of your own technology, yeah, because you could not find what you needed to complete the experience. So where's your tech coming from today?
Well, I mean, we actually have, in Miami, this actually is the first time that we are doing this experience for 16 people. So we are super, super happy to actually have partnered with Meta. They were super, super kind to support this project, and they gave us a few headsets, which was very helpful because it's a production that involves a lot of headsets. So we're working with Meta. They have been very, very supportive on this project. But, you know, we're also hacking things. We are also figuring out, you know, like things here and there that are not necessary off the shelves. But yeah, we have the opportunity to work with them, and it's been an amazing collaboration so far.
And Kathleen, you were saying something about the tech side.
Oh, when you were talking about the potential evolution for it in the future, I would say from the Super Blue side, we've always kind of thought about this 1 week collaboration on Aero Banquettes as being a beta in some way, even though it's a fully fledged experience, but a beta in the sense to see, is this the kind of thing that our audiences would gravitate towards. And with that in mind, has always been the goal or the wish or the fingers crossed that we might be able to evolve this into something that we could bring back to Super Blue in some way. So that conversation has always kind of continued on the side how might we be able to evolve it in the future? And, you know, thankfully, as I said at the start of this conversation, our audiences are reacting super positively and enthusiastically to it. So again, fingers crossed, this is something that hopefully we'll be able to have happen again beyond just 1 week in Miami.
Well, it's almost a shame to have it for just 1 week because the number of people who get to experience it is not that great. Although I suppose it makes it extra special because it is so limited just in terms of how many people can go because of the size of it. At Super Blue, you've had some food components and things in the past also as a part of, you have had dining elements at the gallery also.
We have a cafe outside designed by Yinka Lori and collaborations with any of our events with local restaurants and chefs.
That's fantastic. And, you know, it's interesting that museum dining and gallery dining and things like that sort of haven't quite evolved that much over time when there is so much potential for it in so many ways, as we can see. There's so many fun things happening in food that you would think that it would be, you know, fantastical. They wind up being a little bit, especially in the larger museums, they wind up being a little bit like cafeterias sometimes.
Side project.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a side project, which is, you know, again, not our intention. We do like to kind of think about things long term, which was why from the beginning of this project, it was, okay, we'll do a week, let's see how it goes. But fingers crossed, this is something that, you know, we can continue to do in the space in some way, shape or form, you know, with Mattia and maybe with other projects that are working between art and tech and food.
So exciting.
It is.
Really exciting. I want to thank both of you for taking time out of your day because it's actually happening right now.
And thank you,
Jennifer. Love that. So I'm going to throw out a lot of information so people listening at home can find all of this and follow along. Mattia Casaliano is, if you want to follow him on Instagram, he is at @A_radical_hypothesis, at Aerobanquets, at Flavor 5 Studio is the collective that produces Aerobanquets. If you want to check them out online, it is aerobanquets.com. Kathleen Ford at superblue.art is where you can find them on Instagram. The website is superblue.com/AERO, if you want to specifically look at this event and to purchase tickets. Miami Art Week, Miami Art Basel, this is happening until December 4th, but get on social media and follow them so you can see where it's going to happen next in the world. So exciting. And of course, Super Blue will be there beyond December 4th with lots of interesting things happening. Mattia, do you know when your next production of Aerobanquets will be?
We are working on many different cities, actually, and what we really want to try to do now is it's to set up a table as long as the entire world, and maybe try to link cities like, you know, city here and there, and really have some experience, you know, some social remote experience. We're also looking at a tour. That's another thing that we are looking at. We haven't been in, you know, in Europe yet. We haven't been in South America yet. So yeah, a lot of you, I'm sure you will hear more about Aerobanquets soon.
It almost sounds like, given the initial inspiration of the, you know, Italian futurist in the cookbook, that you are almost obligated to go and do an event in Italy.
You know what? It's going to be the hardest. I think Italy is going to be the hardest one. Yeah. And we're still, you know, we're working on it. I think, you know, because of the food culture in Italy is so, you know, it's so deep, of course, it's so thick, but also it's very, you know, it's very projected in the past. Very much like the...
Fantastic. And Kathleen, can you tell us what's coming up at Super Blue in the future?
Well, right now we just opened up a new installation that I would encourage everyone to come see. It's going to be up for at least the next year. And it's an installation by Rafael Lozano Hemmer called Pulse Topology. And in this room of 3,000 light bulbs, you realize that the light bulbs are actually 3,000 heartbeats or pulses of participants that have been through the space.
Wow.
And you are asked to activate or have your own pulse recorded by putting your hand under a sensor. And at that moment, all the lights dim, the sound in the room becomes just your pulse, and you see one light blinking and realize, and that's the moment that you realize, oh, this isn't just a beautiful light sculpture. These are hearts and pulses, and I'm adding my individual activation into this collective act that's very much about legacy and thinking about future thinking. So I encourage you to come see that. And that's our newest endeavor at Super Blue in addition to Aero Banquettes.
Fantastic. Well, that along with the 37-degree morning we had in New York City is... Mm-hmm. Two great reasons to be coming down to Miami. Yeah.
You got it.
Well, Matti and Kathleen, thank you for joining us today on such a very, very busy day to talk about this project. And if people want to go back to the archives and listen to the first episode where we talked with Matti and his cohort about Aero Banquettes, that is episode 198. From December 2019. And this episode today is episode 279 in November of 2022. So that's fantastic. We are able to stay on the air and have so many episodes and continue our conversation with Tech Bytes because of support from our members and listeners like yourselves. And if you think these are important conversations that we need to have and share and record, help support Tech Bytes by becoming a member of Heritage Radio Network, or if you are looking for holiday gifts, something special for that someone special, or maybe just something nice for yourself, because you're wonderful, go to heritageradionetwork.org/holiday auction. We have lots of amazing lots on sale right now. And I'm going to do a little bit of a promo. I hand-stitched a beautiful 100% cotton bread bag with a Japanese shashiko design on it. And in that bread bag will be a loaf of handmade bread by Heritage Radio Network host Mitchell Davis, who hosted a show called Taste Matters, along with a subscription to his Substack newsletter, Kitchen Sense. And that is currently on auction right now. So something handmade by the HRN hosts. It will be the perfect fit, I promise. Again, it's an exciting time in the food tech space. Thank you for listening. Come back again. I'm Jennifer Liuzzi, and this is Tech Bytes.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
This show is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves? Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.